I took the lead.
Hello from the radio.
Hello, my darling.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, first I'll say it is, as we record this news, it's actually the day before airing terrestrial. It is Sunday. It is the 4th of July. Are you doing anything exciting?
I bought hamburgers.
I'm gonna have
hamburgers.
I bought hamburgers.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, the 4th of July isn't huge for me usually. So
we're doing something weird. We're going to a Jewish Shabbat where we have pre-ordered pastrami and corned beef sandwiches that they were offering today as a special deal. So I'm not sure what the parallel there is, but I mean,
okay,
can't go wrong with a Jewish deli, right?
No, I mean, anyone who doesn't like pastrami, well, they might be vegan, whatever, but still. Pastrami is good.
Right.
That's all I got.
Kara, do you have any news for us?
Google stated in a paper that it has a new AI that can design chips in less than 6 hours, a feat that would take humans many months. This AI is already being used to design Google's first generation of Tensor computer chips, which in turn will be used to make even more powerful AI systems. First chess, then go, and now integrated circuit design. Is there nothing the machines won't touch? And finally, Brood 10, the cicada swarm that enveloped the American Northeast last month, clogging jet engines, causing car crashes, and generally making trouble, has finally died following intercourse, leaving their horrible bug corpses everywhere. They will be taking a 17-year hiatus to return again in the year 2038. I will be 45 years old. And I'll be like, oh my, I remember the 2021 when I...
Back when you could go outside.
Yeah, exactly. Back before we had to wear these gas masks and shoot at raiders who were trying to steal our water supplies.
Right. Back then, we didn't even think about cooking cicadas to eat them. Much less that they would come out of the ground already cooked.
God.
Okay, so Google created Skynet. Google created an AI that builds better hardware that builds better AI.
I know. That's like the thing.
You know,
that's
like a while ago. Is this right? Google has built an AI that builds better hardware that can then build AIs.
Yes, it builds better chips for better AIs.
Huh.
Which in turn, theoretically, can be used to make even better chips to make even better AIs.
On some level, this is like taking prisoners in prison, and instead of having them make license plates, we decide we're going to have them make keys.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
basically, we're giving them the ability that once they figure it out to escape.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like a very good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can argue, I think, plausibly, these computers are nowhere near sentient. Like,
All
they know how to do is math. So, like, we have to implement the chips, you know, we have to do all this stuff. So, it's not like we're going to be like, this new computer chip looks like it's from Mars. It's a little concerning, maybe we shouldn't plug it in. You know, there are humans in the process. So yes. I don't think we should, you know, say the sky is falling yet. However, I think, as far as I can tell, this is sort of the first time that we've done anything sort of like this, like, singularity cycle, when, like, machines are making better machines. That's sort of the first time that's happened. And so I think it's not probably going to be a problem yet, but it might be a problem in the future, and this is just sort of normalizing that this
is... Yeah, it's just like...
We're finally getting there. We're finally getting
going to come where they're just all, Bill, can you explain to me why the new chip just asked me for my social security number?
Exactly.
And as much as I love this on a science fiction level. There's this great old Ray Bradbury story that's about after nuclear war of the house making breakfast and cleaning up. And And eventually we see the ash burns on the side of the house. We see it. I don't think they ever even made a Ray Bradbury theater of it. So apparently the book burned in the image in my head, but, and so I love it on a science fiction level. On a fan of science level, I know that computers are absolutely nowhere near processing power of the human brain. It just isn't. The scary thing will be when a dumbass computer decides it wants to get smarter by absorbing human brains. That's like the total scary moment, you know.
See, I feel like eventually, like, it's going to be able to just make a better version of the human brain, right? It's not gonna need us. Like, it's gonna be like, oh, we can do this, but let's make it more efficient because, you know, someone's actually designing. But
you know, obviously you're gonna say you're a transhumanist on some level, but
sure.
But when it comes to like technology and stuff, are you?
Like, yeah. I mean,
a cochlear implant / Wi-Fi connector? And don't get me wrong, I'm not coming down on people who need a cochlear implant. I'm
sure, yeah.
As an upgrade.
Here's my feeling. I think augmenting our body with technology is awesome, and I'm here for it. Uh-huh. I think the only concerning part about that is due to, like, other systems that I am skeptical of. Like, not a fan of capitalism. So I think if I maybe wouldn't want to have, like, a computer chip designed by a company in my head, right? Because they're just going to charge me software update, you know, charge me money every year, like software as a service to retain my memories of my loved ones or something crazy like that, you know?
Plus, my whole family would make fun of me for getting the Samsung implant while they all have the iPhone one.
Exactly. So I think if we lived in a world like without capitalism, I would be much less skeptical. So my skepticism of this is not due to the technology itself. It's due to we live in a society run by horrible systems, and I don't trust those systems to do it.
As a person who does believe in regulated capitalism.
Sure.
I do have to point out that while capitalism does have a lot of potential for creating classism, it is not the only thing in history that's done it.
Oh, sure.
And classism has, you know.
Look, I think the only, like, good form of government has not been, like, invented yet or tried yet, you know? I think we need to experiment a little more, figure it out.
Right, but
my political philosophy is that capitalism is terrible and unsustainable. What should replace it? Who knows? We need to figure out something else.
Okay, this goes back to earlier. I only want constructive criticism, Kara.
Okay, replace every corporation with a co-op. And get rid of the ability to own private property.
But could co-ops own co-ops? Like, could there be a co-op of co-ops?
As long as every person involved, like, owns a appropriate portion of the company, then I don't have a problem with it.
It'd be called, like, a conglomerate.
Yeah. So, yeah, just something to try, you know?
Right.
Get on that, Congress. Radically restructure our life, please.
And then finally, we talked about cicadas, and I only have one thing interesting about the cicadas to say. I mean, what's to say? I was watching Stephen Colbert, and he did something interesting. He had Jon Stewart on, and because of the cicadas, he put up a picture of what they looked like last time the cicadas came out, and I thought it was kind of a fun way to talk about the cicadas. So now I'm interested in now tracking my life as though I am cicada mating, and I'm just going to take a picture once every 17 years.
Yeah, that's what I love about them. You know, they're creepy bugs, and I hate them, but they're punctual. They're reliable. Yeah. You can just kind of count on them. They'll be back. They're like Halley's Comet, you know?
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. If you're listening terrestrially, tonight our guest is the one, the only, Samuel Hoffman. If you're listening on the Internet, well, aren't you special? Your guest can be whoever you want it to be.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to Rich, the number 4, Reverses.com.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
Karen, you have any news for us?
A rash of mysterious bird deaths is taking place in Kentucky and Indiana. According to wildlife officials, songbirds have been getting sick and dying with an illness that causes eye swelling and neurological signs in birds, primarily affecting blue jays and grackles and European starlings. So far, West Nile and bird flu have been ruled out. Experts are warning people to keep their pets away from any dead birds.
Oh, my God. Okay, do you have the post, COVID trauma that every time you hear about something that slightly sounds like the movie Outbreak, you start to go, oh God, burn their bodies. You know?
I don't think this is going to be a big deal, but I have, look, I, as you know, I have a solid policy of reporting on any news story that sounds like it could be like playing on the news in the background in the first 10 minutes of like a thriller movie or a horror movie, anything like that. I'm going to report just, you know,
basically
as a point of principle.
Right. For you, this is the equivalent of typing first in the comments on YouTube?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I brought that up like 2 years ago.
I mean, obviously, nobody
cared about the vomiting birds on your doorstep, you know?
I mean, obviously, I'm not first because I'm to clear something up for our listeners, I am not a journalist. I'm not calling people. I'm not doing independent research. Oh, I am reporting on what other journalists have discovered.
So it really is like the comment thing first.
Yes. It's like, which to be fair, most pundits do that. The list of actual journalists, it's kind of like the Associated Press, and that's it.
Right. You know, like every time they
show not a lot of
work and on papers, I know he's just critiquing other people's work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. But yeah, no, I am terrified of this. I do have some, I'm dealing with multiple levels of post-traumatic stress here. between the fires and now, you know, dead birds and pandemics and, you know, I think of myself as somebody who's just, oh, whatever, you know, I go through life, it doesn't matter. But I think there are tinges of that within me, and I just, I'm not very in touch with my feelings, Kara.
Yeah. Well, you know, we never really know. I think most of us were like, yeah, bring on the apocalypse, who cares? And then we were told...
until it's there, and then we're all
like... Right, then we get told, oh, but there's no AC, and you can't go outside for a year. And we're like, oh, they can stop, please, solve this, you know? So,
Well, is there anything we can do about the AC?
Right, exactly. We do... People enjoy it. Maybe controversial to say, but I think people like civilization.
Yeah. And
people prefer it to the alternative.
The other fear that all of this has left me with is that the pandemic, regardless, okay, I want everybody who's listening to take out whether you think it's real or not. let's say that somebody came to us and our government and said, there's a bomb in the earth, and if you guys don't dig this hole, you won't get to it, and you're all going to die. This pandemic has left me with the belief that if we are ever faced with an existential situation,
which we are,
we're going to die.
Yes.
But it's not going to work.
It's not an if situation.
We
could climate change.
Have the conversation as to if it was real or not.
Right,
much
exactly.
Less solve it. You know, it's like we couldn't even have a pleasant conversation about if it was real and what to do. And now everybody's just all, oh, well, look back, you didn't even need to do that stuff. Yeah, you learn, you collect the data, you plan for next time. I mean, like when my wife and I make a decision that's bad, I don't like sit there on the couch for the next 6 months going, you totally messed that one up. That's totally your fault. No, I get behind the decision. We make the decision together. It is our joint problem. That's the way. I don't know.
I mean, what frustrates me about this is when I hear people being like, oh, well, they told us we don't need masks, and then they told us we do need masks. And I'm like, dude, you're describing like a 2 week period in March of last year. There was like a whole year in which the messaging was very consistent and very simple, where it was just like,
well, and also that's the nature of learning stuff.
People just didn't do it. Yeah.
You know, information changes. People are misinformed. People make mistakes, but you can't.
Yeah, it's like, so because it was.
Why that mistake? I mean, every person who, I'm feeling safe to say that anybody who rides the mistakes of others is either single or very, very unhappily married.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if you're not, you probably just don't know it. Because, like, how can you just go through life? I'm done. I need constructive criticism. I don't want to hear another person tell me what we did wrong, what we shouldn't be doing. I want constructive criticism. You can tell me anything you want as long as you tell me what we should do moving forward that will help everybody.
I mean... Here's the thing about that.
You're going to shut up 99% of the people.
Well, the thing about that is, you know, the thing that springs to my mind as the most constructive thing to say here is just going to make you, like, mad. Because my feeling is, don't elect Trump again. That's the best way to deal with any future problems, like, you know.
Well.
Which is a very partisan position that will piss people off, just like you were talking about
originally.
I also
think that's part of the problem here. I think a lot of that. You know, it's going to be great on the web. I also think that's part of the problem here is that people sum up problems because they want to put things in boxes. And once things are in boxes, they want to put boxes in boxes. And on top of that, and we look at the world and we say, oh, Trump, bleh. Man, we had these problems. Trump really created very few new problems in this country. Very few new
problems.
Yeah, tore open some ones that were already there and made them worse.
Right. See, I think he made existing problems worse.
The only real problem that he invented was he really kind of destroyed some of our relationships with our allies that I hopefully is coming back. But outside of that, he's not the problem. Just ain't.
Sure. But, I mean, here's the thing. We're talking about partisan again. I would argue that the root problem is just the far right. That they exist.
It's terrible.
Look, if I'm being honest.
That's their problem with you.
I know, but I'm right and they're wrong.
How do you fix that?
Well, you can't.
Imagine that
it's not a fixable problem.
No, imagine that you are a conflict resolver.
Okay.
And get sent to a planet where everybody on the planet basically has the mentality of a 12-year-old till the end of their life, because that's how the two of you view one another. That's how the left views the right and the right views the left. So you get sent to a planet with a group of 12-year-olds. And your job is to make it as good as possible for them.
Well, I would separate
That's
them.
The advice we need. We don't need to, well, we obviously just need to burn half the 12-year-olds. it's like, that's
no,
not
no, I see what you're saying, but I'm saying there's no actionable plan of like compromise between those positions. I don't think that's possible. So I think if you like pressed me to come up with a solution, I'd say put all the 12-year-olds here, put all the 12-year-olds there, other 12-year-olds there. Just make sure they don't interact anymore.
Separate but equal.
Sure.
Whoops. You can't do that. That already didn't work.
Yeah, but people did that with freaking races, not ideologies.
I know. But
you know, having a race, your race has nothing to do with who you are as a person. Your ideology is who you are as a person.
Yeah, but I think that's the problem with people in this world. And that is that, and I don't mean you're the problem. I'm the problem too. I'm trying to become aware of it. So I'm definitely not a pundit trying to tell everybody who they need to be. I am the problem as well. But I think the problem is our general viewing of ourselves in the world, of this attitude of if everybody were just like me, it would be okay. Or if everybody were just like my group of people, it would be okay. And we all kind of have that attitude. That's how I feel about people that I want to hang out with and so on and so forth. It's hard to escape that attitude. But the attitude that I'm thinking we need to adopt is a little more evolutionary, and that is weather the storm until we're smart enough to pull this off.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
You are invited to participate in the 16th annual 4-H FFA Community Barbecue, which will be held Saturday, July 10th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. The drive-thru event includes your choice of lamb, pork, beef, or goat, with corn on the cob, barbecue beans, coleslaw, bread, and a drink. Tickets are $10 and are available for pre-sale from 4-H FFA members, the 4-H office, and Muse Trucking, or can be purchased at the barbecue. Please join us in making this a successful event.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest today is Samuel Hoffman returning. Kara is out with family. Apparently that is important to her, whatever. All right, Samuel, I'm always happy to have you on because, for one, you only call in because your computer situation up there apparently is not good, and it means I don't have to, comb my hair or anything.
Yeah, and we don't have to wear pants.
Yep, no pants.
But I assure you, I do have pants on, although they are very old and there's a hole in the left knee. Anyway.
As for me, just imagine whatever it is you imagine. Imagine something that'll make you keep listening. So, go ahead.
I think we're going to actually see a change in our societal clothing apparel from the 2020 event and forward. I they're talking how clothing sales have skyrocketed on the national news today.
Over 20%, so. Yeah, my wife was saying she was out shopping. We were out together. I go with her so we can spend quality time as I stand around as she shops. But she was basically saying that she can tell that's going on in style, that comfort has taken over lots of the clothes that are up for sale. And it's really all about comfort clothes now that people have gotten used to it.
We could always hope and pray that maybe this is the end of the tie.
Yeah, I always thought the tie was a weird thing.
I detested wearing a tie all those years. I had to, and it's just like, whew, try to shave every day and still wear that stupid tie. Anyway.
Okay, so Mark, one of the things that we're discussing here, before we came on, was allergies. And I have never had allergies as bad as I do since I moved to Oregon. And you were saying that you have them.
Yeah, and I've never really had them for most of my life. And within the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's just kicked up into something that's a nightmare.
I assume that has something to do with climate change. That's what I've been thinking, but
I heartily agree with you. We are, you know, and I've said this a million times, we're not in Kansas anymore. And let's, you know, just discuss this massive heat wave that we just are going, well, we're still in. These heat temperatures went all the way up into Canada, all the way up to Hudson Bay and everything. And people know that, you know, we had a temperature rise here in the United States, but they don't discuss the fact this went all the way in the middle of Mexico and all the way up and through middle to the top of Canada. I was just looking at the graphs, and we're talking excruciatingly high temperatures for that high in the latitudes. And, you know, this is, I believe, you know, we're seeing the direct onset of course, we talk about global warming, but this is, of course, solar system warming because the two suns. And a lot of people don't take into account the binary scenario. They just get lost in the planets. And remember, this extra thing is a star and an entire another group of planets that are attached to us as well and always have been and always will be. And we're not paradoxical. It's a flowing, circular thing that happens every 3,654, give or take, years. And if you look, go ahead if you had something to say.
Yeah, well, we do come back to this, on the reg, and that is us being a part of a binary system and these environment changes, are they connected beyond our ability to control, or is this something we should still care about?
Oh, well yeah, we should care about it. If we go back through the ice core samples, back to the 1700 BCs, and remember we count backwards the opposite direction when coming closer to our time. So it would go 1750, 1730, 1710, 1680, 1650. Through that period of time, the ice core samples show that we were into a literal average daily temperature of the planet Earth at 130 some degrees. So, and this showed this for a period of a 10-year, 15, 20-year period, and then it dropped off real quick, and then they had another minor overheating scenario as well in the 1650s, and then it went back to a onset ice age scenario where, you know, we know with the stuff that we do know as our current normal weather, and followed by, you know, the melt-off of the ice age, et cetera. And which, of course, had a great deal to do with climate migration and everything, and why the people went to underground to live in Cappadocia, which is modern-day Turkey, why there were vast cities underground. So should we take note of this? Yes, I have a funny feeling a lot of us are going to be really, really hot and might have to change our building habits and where we live and how we get through our day. And now can you imagine if we didn't have electricity, how many people would be with no air conditioning and all these other things?
Yeah, absolutely, and I consider myself a climate refugee, moving out of Reading and moving north. Moving away from the heat was definitely a factor in what's going on here. So tonight we have you on the show for a reason. We've had you on once before. When we post stuff from you, we get a lot of questions, and we figured we know you so well, it's better to just pose them at you instead of let them float out there or put a, I don't know, we'll ask him when we get around to it. So we're hoping you answer some of the questions that have been asked to us about your appearances on the show. I assume that's good with you, right?
Yeah, fire away, and I'll give it my best shot.
Okay, so the first one is Bevan Urin, and I apologize to anybody if I mispronounce your names. I mean, some of them aren't even words. Hey, Sam, tell the story how it was Harrington and you who identified Planet X in 1983.
Wow, 1983. Well, it wasn't me that had anything to do with the identification in 1983. I wrote my paper in 1978 and was pressured and sequestered in 1980. that information was used by them, and apparently it took them about 3 years from what I, this is of course through rumor and I don't have any absolute proof of it, but it took them apparently that long to understand stuff. Now, when it comes to Harrington, yeah, he was in charge of the SETI Alpha group that had, was heading down to Australia, and so they could get the view of the approach, because the body, the entire solar system and their star came up from below us, and then over about a three-year period was visible. Literally, if you have some of these new cameras, you could see it, but you couldn't really see it at all until all of a sudden, bang, it was there, and we started seeing stuff at the Neumeier station and all of that. And they had a group of names where they were naming them Harrington and this and that and the other thing, which we've never, of course, had subscribed to, because I was given information from other sources off-world. But through my description, I would imagine they put some of the pieces together that they didn't have. And not only that, I'm sure that they had a certain level of information that I wasn't being shared with as well, that they may have known more than I do, and which is entirely possible. They have entire teams working on this. So anyway, that's sort of my answer to you there.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that stuff's on need-to-know, compartmentalized, you know. That's
right. Information always goes up. It never, ever trickles down.
Yeah, that's the one thing that Karen and I have been passing back and forth about, the Navy and the UAP sightings and stuff like that, is that, you know, it's probably just our own tech, and one hand doesn't know what the other's doing.
Right,
it's just
right.
as likely as anything else.
And all information, and my brief period of time that I was an insider, all the information we dealt with was absolutely vetted before they even released anything downward, period. It went through channels no matter what, and they were very adamant about it.
Okay, so up next we got Mary Anon again. Sorry if I mispronounce him, but it's your username. Get over it. Sam, do you think we, she has two questions here. Let's go with the first one. Sam, do you think we should be purchasing gold?
Not at today's prices. Boy, you know, if you'd have purchased gold about 20 years ago, you'd be wealthy right now. No, I don't agree with buying gold at these prices. And that's just, in, you know, for common finance. I would maybe look more into silver right now because it's a little more tolerable. But the gold is a touchy scenario, because you're going to gather some more interest towards you than you want later if you happen to hang on to it from more than one faction. Let's put it that way. Humans won't be the only ones interested in your gold if you have it. I don't currently own any.
Right, yeah, I assume that that's part of where, I assume she's a she, is her question is coming from, and that is that, you know, given the off-world interest in gold that you talk about, is it a good idea to purchase it?
Now, there's a huge medicinal value in it. I don't know if wearing it can actually help you, but I know that consuming it in monatomic gold will actually regenerate your cells. And we can't self-heal during this time of two suns. But I, of course, don't have a whole bunch of money to throw to that scientific study, although I wish I did. And that's about the best I can tell you on that.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spent at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara.
Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You are listening to Samuel Hoffman on Radio Wasteland.
Four tray North Sida followed by an asterisk. Very creative. It says electromagnetic universe, period. So that's, let's see if that bleeds into our next one pretty well. Anon says, why no discussion of the magnetic signatures of ISWA, ISWA, Integrated Space Weather Analysis System? Clearly show the conical hat when Ra arrived and those planets are Horus's box. We live in a three-sun system. Your observations are good. Your analogy of what you are seeing is incorrect.
Yeah, I've heard the trinary scenario many times, and I've heard that from that person, as a matter of fact, many times and looked into it. I can't go with the trinary system because it doesn't work mathematically according to my personal equations that did work out, that got the government's attention. And if I was wrong, I do not believe they would have stifled me with a 30-year non-disclosure agreement. They would have just ignored that 17-year-old kid in Montana. But when we talk about a trinary, now we do know that from the Pleiadian information I was given, that there is a tool star, which is a tiny, ultraviolet blue star that hangs just off the atmosphere of Nibiru, and I have not talked a lot about this in the past to very many people because I haven't absolutely been able to prove it beyond, oh, a few dozen photographs. And when you see the blue shaft light in some photographs where it goes, it's a shaft of vertical light that goes through all the pictures, straight up, straight down, goes top to bottom. That is the Nibiru's tool star. And as it was explained to me, was the planetary system where the people live on in the secondary larger solar system, the Emeru group. Those people would go behind at some point in time, behind Hercubus, and away from the visual of their star and be dumped into ice ages that would last 1,000 years or whatever. So they created this tool star, which is like an extra, throwing an extra magnet on the table to keep the attraction and placement of their planet directly in line with their star at all times. And that's technology I don't fully understand, but I was informed that it had to do with part of their gold tech, etc. And so, in fact, you could actually call it a trinary, but this is a being-made or a man-made creation, and I'm not going to say sun simulator because that's an entire another story and a whole bunch of Facebook chaos and disinfo having to do with that, and that was made up by some silly people that really didn't know what they were talking about. But anyway, and of course I got into a snowball and went just completely crazy. But the trinary scenario is entirely possible, but believe me, we have two. If we had three, then we'd have a whole another ball game going on altogether, and it would be a nightmare.
Gotcha. Okay, Lucinda Ray, 786. Again, thanks, Chauncey, for having Samuel back on your show. We love it when you do. Oh, Andrea must have put that in to make me feel good. Lucinda, you're my new fave. Okay, this last one is This one, I know you're not on board with. It's just wild, but I don't know if this person's joking or what. I'm just going to see if you've heard of it before. 74 Ohm King Avalon 47 says, if you add flat Earth, round Earth, and hollow Earth, you get an eyeball. We live on the flat Earth under the dome in the iris. The hollow Earth is the North Pole. It's the pupil. It's the entrance to the eyeball. It's where the light comes in. Then you have the white wall ball you can't cross, and it's the South Pole, and it's where the cosmic eye connects to the cosmic mind, so you can't go there, so it's all one thing. You have to look at the whole thing because they're all correct.
Wow.
Mind blown.
I don't even know if we dare answer that.
Well, it makes me think of a celestial, you know, like the head nowhere yeah. and Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
Right, and when people start throwing flat Earth and the firmament and all of that stuff out, I just sit there and go, oh, boy. You know, they don't even take into account cosmic grounding. I'm sorry, we're not on some plane, you know, I mean, which would constitute us being farther under a matrix level of control by some sort of larger beings that are, you know, I mean, next thing you know, you're going to have E.T. looking in the fishbowl, you know, giant big head looking in our tiny little fishbowl joke.
Right.
Great that they believe what they believe in. I'm sorry, I can't go there.
Yeah. Well, that's our collection of questions, so we're in the weeds now, so we're able to just kind of go for it. You know, what can people expect to see coming up in the skies?
Well, have you noticed the amount of disclosure that's going on?
Yeah, that's been a big topic around here, and, you know, I'm personally more disturbed that the government is admitting that they don't know something.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they're completely discussing because they can't avoid what we've been citing. We have had worldwide sightings since the last time we spoke of the Long Box Cube and the Texas Cube and fleets, and I'm not talking fleet, I mean fleets, plural, multi-plural, and cubes, and we're watching the Empire Orb again, and this week, and they've announced the cylinder. They talked about a cylinder being sighted, and this was, of course, a NASA release. And I have, by eye, twice this week seen the cylinder in the sky using my own two eyes, not a camera or anything like that. Because I fry, by the way, everybody, I don't take my own pictures anymore because I fry cameras. I've bought five cameras, and they don't work for me because I fry electronics. Anyway, same reason I don't have a cell phone. I have seen by eye this huge, massive cylinder, and the sky sightings have been so unbelievable because these planets are so close, and they're just, I mean, we're swimming in them, and we're, you know, most of the time you're staring at a planet at one time or another, and there's absolutely no clouds in the sky, but we're literally staring at literally a planet in a lot of cases. And then they come in, and it's been really, really weird because it's all directionally changed from my first decade of viewing. Where they arrived from is completely different now than when they did, which means we're definitely in between them. And all the crop circles are leading toward solar separation, and we're seeing multiple discussions about the Mayan and the Aztec calendar, and that's just as of May 26th, we moved into the period known as the sixth sun. Which tells me, and I was calling separation here a few months ago, which tells me that all of these things are falling into line. So we're literally going to start seeing more facial illuminations of the planets as they go past us. And you can see them at greater at sunset, where Nibiru and Isatim are literally coming over the top of
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.